Well, especially the draft communiqués that came out last week, that was also leaked to the Financial Times. So they had an article in the Financial Times referring to what would be in the draft communiqué for the G8, and that was abandoning the pledges that they had made in Gleneagles in 2005.
Now, one of the main promises was near universal access for those who needed HIV/AIDS treatment by the year 2010. Is that your main concern?
That's true. Especially now, the beginning of this year, we had reached almost 3 million on treatment, which is less than a third that are urgently in need to be on treatment. So every year, almost 3 million are dying, and now we save with that 1 million per year, but 2 million are dying unnecessarily. So we still have a long way to go, and the progress that is made is very steady, but it's not enough. It has to be much more exponential growth and scale-up of treatment. That was the promise in 2005. It was also clear what that would require from all the donor governments, and that would require quite a huge pledge for money. And they talked about it, but they never really committed to that money and to a money plan for the coming years.
So why do you think the G8 summit in Japan will renege on that, or at least to scale back on that promise?
I think there is a lot of discussion and politics going around. It's, of course, a very important and very concrete commitment with a timeline that is very tight. And I guess some of the G8 leaders are afraid that that is too tight. It would require also to be able to do the treatment for all, to have much more affordable and cheaper access to medicines. So there's also this huge battle going on still with the big pharma and the generic pharma. And of course, some countries really protect the big pharma. So as long as the price is high for many countries, and especially also for the second line treatment, it's a very costly one. On the other hand, even if it is that costly, they should be able to contribute as G8, as the richest countries, to contribute much more than they've done. The other concern that we are having is, although the discussion is getting broader to global health, it doesn't come with more concrete strategies how to do that and with more resources how to get there.
Some fear that the current food crisis and the global economy may draw attention away from developing countries and health issues like HIV/AIDS. Would you agree with that?
It definitely is competing with each other, and everybody understands that. And of course, the food crisis is a very big and important issue, and of course also the economy that is going down. On the other hand, there has been huge commitments made by all the rich donor countries through the Paris Declaration on AIDS effectiveness, and there is this commitment to go to 0.7 of the GDP per country to spend on developing countries. And if we did that, then there would be enough money for health, for education, for the food crisis, etc.
Now, the World AIDS Campaign is calling for the establishment of a high-level G8 AIDS mechanism to review progress and inform G8 strategy and commitments on health and HIV and AIDS specifically. Would you tell us what kind of mechanism you would like to see?
Leadership does come with being held accountable. So if you make these important commitments and pledges, you promise a lot to people who are in need of those treatments and these prevention services. So I think it's crucial that through the mechanisms that are existing, like the UN, like UNAIDS, to work with them and establish kind of the working group, like they've done with other commitments in the past as well, that really monitors the progress, that monitors what each G8 country is doing on HIV and AIDS and health in relation to the commitments they themselves are making. So just to report back on what progress is made and then actually show a kind of a report card or a scorecard how each country is doing.